We're checking in on childcare centers on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. These centers, they've been on the front lines providing essential care for working families. But thousands of childcare programs have closed due to rising costs and falling enrollments. That's from a survey of more than 6,000 providers in December by the National Association for the Education of Young Children. A possible bright spot here, the American Rescue Plan directs $39 billion to states to help the industry. Do you work at a childcare center? Do you have a baby or a toddler at a center? What have you faced? It's 800-642-1234. Brooke Skidmore is director of the Growing Tree Childcare Center in New Glarus. Brooke, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for the invite.
Good morning. We also have Tricia Peterson here, owner and director of Future All-Stars Academy in Juneau. Tricia, welcome to you.
Welcome. Good morning.
Well, Tricia, good morning. Let's start with you. How has your center been operating? How has it been doing in these times?
Sure. So we've been open the entire time, and we did have to lay off about, we only are a staff of 12, and we did have to lay off five of them last spring. But we're back full force and wait lists a mile long because we can't find the staff to be in our classrooms, but ultimately we're doing okay. The funding that has come down from the state has been very helpful to keep us at bay.
So. Oh, you know, a wait list a mile long, like how many families are on your wait list?
So probably just looking at the infant toddler rooms, I bet you we're not able to take another child until probably September of 2022.
Wow. Wow. Was it like this? Did you have this type of wait list before the pandemic?
No, absolutely not.
Wow. Brooke, what are you experiencing? How is your center doing?
We are hanging in there. We did have to close for a while during the initial, just because we wanted to reduce the spread among the community, and we just did not know. So we went from having, before COVID, we had about 100 children enrolled. But I want to say even before COVID hit, I had one room that was left completely empty because the lack of teachers that were available. There is a teacher shortage, and this has just exacerbated it. When we did open, we had to change a lot of our policies, a lot of our rules. We lost several teachers just due to multiple issues with not feeling safe in the childcare environment, with the lack of social distancing, things that we really can't do with young children. The pay is a huge issue for the lack of teachers. You know, trying to find a teacher knowing that they can go, you know, down the road to the gas station or Target or Walmart, anywhere, and make more. That's certainly a deterrent for getting teachers. But when we opened, we could no longer do 5 days a week, which that's been a huge inconvenience for our families.
Why is that?
So because of our policies, normally what we would do is we would stagger our teachers in and out at the beginning of the day and the end of the day.
Yeah.
Now we can't mix our teachers or our groups.
Oh.
So the teachers are working 4 10-hour straight days, like, and they don't get a break. They stay with the children for the lunch. They're with them. So we can't afford to pay overtime. So we had to take a day out. So we're only open 4 days a week right now. And that's been a huge inconvenience for our families, especially with parents trying to work themselves.
Tricia, what has it been like for staffing for you? Are you finding the same obstacles that Brooke is experiencing in trying to retain staff?
Brooke is a little bit bigger than us. We only have, our capacity is only at 48, and we're the same as Brooke. We're not able to fulfill all of our classrooms due to the lack of staffing. Our biggest competitors are Quick Trip and Max, just different factories around that can make more and give more benefits to our families and our teachers. So we do find the same issues, lack of staff, but out of the 12 staff, 7 of them are my core staff, and they have been with me since 2015, even some 2013 when we opened. So I have been very fortunate and blessed to have them. But ultimately, it's the other ones that are rotating because our expectations are high. Quality child care is hard. And the teacher social emotional well-being after COVID has been really hard to deal with kids' behaviors and different things of that they're experiencing, because ultimately kids show us through behaviors they're struggling at home. And so it's been a struggle. It's been a big struggle. We haven't lost any teachers over COVID. Everybody did come back, but very hesitant to come back, very scared to come back. We're able to stay open 5 days a week, but we, like I said, are really small. So we're the only licensed childcare facility in our area of Dodgeland School District, which is a pretty small school district, but still the nearest childcare center is probably 10, 15 minutes away. So parents don't have a big option.
We're talking with Tricia Peterson and Brooke Skidmore about the challenges facing childcare centers in the pandemic. Tricia runs a center in Juneau. Brooke operates a center in New Glarus. Taking your questions and what you have found in daycare, do you work at a center? What safety precautions has your facility been taking? Are you currently operating at reduced hours or less capacity? Share what you're experiencing. 800-642-1234. You can email ideas@WPR.org. Tricia, I understand one of your teachers did, contract COVID. What did you do at that point?
Sure. Yeah. Back in October, we did have a staff member attract COVID. We're not sure where she got it from, but we did end up having to close the classroom for, I believe it was 8 days, because of the fact that it landed on 2 weekends. So we were able to get through those 10 days. But no other staff member got it. No other child has gotten it. So it did put us out financially. I did not choose to make the parents pay the week that they were gone. So I took the hit on that. So that was quite a bit of thousands of dollars that I ate. But financially in our area, we're a very rural town. So parents live paycheck to paycheck. So they're struggling already because the cost of childcare is so high. So
Brooke, has your facility faced COVID cases?
Yes, we've had cases with teachers and with children where we had to close down the rooms. And similar to what Tricia had said, too, it, especially when it was a teacher contracted it and we didn't know where it was from. I mean, honestly, it could have been from the children, but they don't show the symptoms. And but we also did not feel comfortable charging parents for care when they could not be there, yet we still pay our teachers for that time too, because they have to live as well. So we as a business operating at less than half our capacity, it's not feasible. So without the funds that we've received, that's the only reason why we've been able to operate right now, because having a building where we have four of our rooms shut down that are just empty, yet having a wait list, the same as Tricia, I get calls constantly, especially for under two, because that's the significant childcare desert in the state. Over half of us is a childcare desert. I feel terrible. I have so many parents asking for childcare and turning them away every day.
Have these empty rooms where you have the physical space, and yet you can't staff it.
Right. It's a weird experience to have all this space and have these wait lists and be struggling financially. There's a huge demand, but I can't get the teachers. The teachers are the key component to quality. And if we can't get the teachers in there, the margins just don't work for this field of early childcare education. They're so razor thin already. So it just doesn't equate. We do need government support to actually, keep up with the demand.
We're going to look at that support in just a moment here as we discuss the challenges facing daycare centers in the pandemic. Brooke Skidmore is an early education teacher and director of a center in New Glarus. Tricia Peterson is with us, runs a childcare center in Juneau. Are you an early learning center teacher? What's your work been like in the pandemic? Have you had your hours or your wages reduced? Do you feel heard by federal and state government as aid comes to this industry? Share with us, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. Child childcare centers have improvised in the pandemic, scrambling to stay open, secure enough PPE, keep enrollment up, and all the while operating, as we've heard, on razor-thin budgets. We are looking at all sides of this crisis on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Even before the pandemic, working families struggled to find safe, affordable, and convenient childcare. The group Childcare Aware of America says this is a trifold problem. How do you provide high-quality care, keep it affordable for families, and pay fair wages to employees? It's 800-642-1234. Tricia Peterson and Brooke Skidmore, they lead childcare centers in Juneau and New Glarus. Tricia, you received funding through the Paycheck Protection Program. How did that impact your costs?
It was huge for us because it was able to cover, I believe it was four pay periods for us, which is our pay periods are probably over 80% of our budget, which shouldn't be, but because of the low costs that we have and the high wages and, or I shouldn't say high wages, the high demand in regards to the bills that come in, our insurance and everything else that it costs to run a quality childcare center, it had put us, we were probably in the red all the way, we were in the red, going up to the pandemic. And then the pandemic hit and we were able to get the protection, the PPP, and also a few of the, they called them grants, but they really weren't. They were type of loans that DCF gave us, and that barely made us get above zero. So we are still fighting every day our budget. We're still trying to cut costs everywhere we can. But unfortunately, childcare is expensive and parents can't pay anymore. So we struggle every day trying to figure out, because I also can't afford overtime. So trying to figure out the best way. And this is the first time I actually had to tell parents no when they asked for extra days. And we just don't have the staff to do it. Like Brooke said, the staffing is the biggest problem we have. And it's the most, it's just really, really, to have quality, you have to have teachers that'll stay with you. And with the funding that we did get from the state, we were only able to give bonuses because it just wasn't sustainable.
Brooke, you know, could you pass these costs on to families? Could you make families pay more for care?
No, I can't. I mean, families are already paying more than they would to send their child to tuition. I'm in Greene County, and I already am charging the most for my county. But I'm also trying to turn it over to the teachers, where they also make the most in Greene County for childcare. But my families cannot afford it. I already feel bad. I'm not affordable to many children in my community because it's too much. And yet the average teacher in the state makes $10.66 an hour. That's not a living wage. And parents, like the true cost of an infant in the state would be $14,700. That's the true cost for us to care for it. Now, when we put in, that's base level. If we talk about high quality care, it costs us $27,000 a year to care for an infant. So that's why you're seeing these shortages of trying to get under two in, because it's a loss for us. We make no money when we take in infants. Those are considered feeders into a program typically, where hopefully as they age up, then we could, you know, turn over a little bit. But infants, we lose money on. And like Tricia too, I'm operating at a loss right now. Without the CARES Act funding and the PPP, we would have to have closed our doors.
Well, along those lines, Corrine wrote in to ask, what, in your opinion, do you think the best use of the federal funds from the American Rescue Plan would be to meet the financial needs of both parents and teachers and child care centers? Tricia, you first there.
Sure. I would 100% hands down use it for my staff. My staff are the ones that deserve it. They're in the trenches every day. I'm even in the classrooms every day because of the lack of teachers, but I wouldn't have to raise my prices for probably, if we were to get federal funding consistently, I would not have to raise my prices. And if I would, it wouldn't be the 10-15% a year that we do have to raise them. And my teachers would definitely see the effects of that. It would go directly to them.
Brooke, how about you? You know, the Biden administration, plans to send through the American Rescue Plan $39 billion to the child care industry. Where do you want to see it go?
I'm the same with Tricia. It needs to go to the workforce. The teachers are the main factor when we consider quality, and they're the reason why we are in this crisis. It has to go to the teachers. We know that four out of five employed people who have a degree in early childhood education are not actually working with children. So that tells us they have a passion for it, but they can't make a living for it. That's a scary thing that you want to go into this, but that's the lowest pay yielding degree you can get to is a degree in early childhood. So that doesn't equate. And the teacher's pay is what is driving inequality of education. Knowing that Wisconsin is ranked as the worst state for education inequality, we know that that starts at these early years, that children are going into kindergarten years behind. Just like on the news you had with joint finance agreeing for the mental health for these juvenile children, early child care education is the key to intervention to help these children that are facing adverse experiences like poverty, abuse, if they see violence. We have an opportunity within the early child care education to create those relationships that children need to overcome those adversities, and we're not taking advantage of that. Wisconsin does not support funding early child care and education. Historically, it's the only money we've seen has come from the federal end. So currently, right now, in Joint Finance Committee, the Department of Children and Families has asked for $106 million, and that's hanging in the balance right now. We don't know. I've been waiting to see if it's going to be cut. I hope not. We need it to survive, and our Wisconsin workforce can't survive without it. I think it is really telling that in 2018, Wisconsin lost $3 billion due to lack of child care, and that was pre-COVID. So imagine the number that we're going to see now. So if we invest in these early years, invest in those teachers, we will see that return tenfold.
We're talking with Brooke Skidmore. She heads up an early learning center in New Glarus. Tricia Peterson is here. Child care center is in Juneau. Taking your questions, your insights, are you with an early learning center? What has your work been like? Do you have a child going to a daycare center? What has that been like? 800-642-1234. You know, as Brooke, kind of lays out what is happening in the legislature, Tricia, as, an early learning center, person, do you feel like you have an organized voice compared to K-12 teachers? Do you feel like your field is unified in trying to figure out this problem when you are, approaching the legislature?
The unfortunate part in our field is that I don't think people think they have a voice right now because we're not looked at as educators, which is really sad. When children, the most important years are before the age of five. So for us right now, I feel like I've been in the field for over 20 years. Today, we have the biggest voice we've ever had before. People are coming together. They're raising their voices, but we need more voices raised. We need more people talking to their legislators, talking to their representatives, and calling them and just telling them their stories about how they're living on short margins at home and how childcare is the biggest cost beyond rent, beyond mortgage, that they're having to make decisions. Do I pay rent or do I pay my child care bills? So it is a huge thing that we do need to talk to them because they don't know unless we talk. And my biggest thing is most legislator representatives are older and they don't have children in child care. So they're beyond that. But yet they don't realize that if they don't start investing in these children now, the criminal justice system is going to get way out of control and we're going to be putting way more money into that. Because of what Brooke was saying, the investment will come back.
I want to switch topics here quickly. COVID vaccines. Brooke, how much of your staff have received them so far? What is that like?
All of our staff have received them, except for we have two teachers that are pregnant, and I don't believe they have for their own personal reasons. I definitely encourage it, but that's between them and their primary doctor.
Yeah. Tricia, how about you? Has your staff been able to get access?
So we have had a few get it, and some of the other ones are still waiting. So we have the opportunity. It's just trying to educate everybody on it and how the importance of it.
And Brooke, if you have some staff who are pregnant now, that means that you're going to need more coverage of teachers. Are you continually looking for staff?
Yes, I am. I'm glad you noticed that. I have two teachers that are both going to be due the beginning of summer and the end of summer, and that's a huge obstacle for me. And it's a huge obstacle for them. They don't have maternity leave either. This is, you know, they're talking about having to come back at 6-8 weeks when they, you know, we know that they need to bond, that attachment is needed, and yet I need them back. Like, it's a vicious cycle right now until we can get funding for the system.
Well, thank you both for joining us and explaining the situation. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having us, and happy Teacher Appreciation Day.
You too.
Thank you very much.
Brooke Skidmore, director of the Growing Tree Child Care Center in New Glarus. Tricia Peterson, owner and director of Future All-Stars Academy in Juneau. News update is next on the Ideas Network.